Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
And that's our prayer this morning, Father. It's the heart of worship, is just to come as ourself, not trying to bring anything to earn your favor, not to try to do anything to earn your love. It's just our heart, just coming as we are. And I pray that, Father, that today, that Lord, the people that you've brought here today, the people that may be listening later online, I pray that, Father God, that you would just use your words to speak to us. I thank you, God, so much for how you are so faithful, how you are so loving, how you run to us, how you wait for us, how you accept us, even when we at times may do contrary to those things. I thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and worship with all of our hearts, that it's not about anything else. I pray that you would use this message, Lord, to speak to each one of us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It's great to see you here. Thank you so much for being here and for just coming and worshiping. You know, I had been thinking the past couple of weeks about what I wanted to share, and I'm always kind of a couple of weeks ahead of things that, you know, I'm learning and going through in my own particular life. And as I've said before, it's funny sometimes because people will tell me afterwards that, you know, it seems like you were sharing things that we talked about, or it seems like you were sharing things that I'm too going through. And it's really interesting because a lot of times we're all going through different things, or sometimes even many of the same similar things in our life, especially within the church and in our size church, as we begin to love each other and connect with each other and grow together and disciple one another. And it's just more that you get to hear people's hearts. And this morning, I want to turn to the book of Judges. So if you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Judges. For some of us, including myself, it may be the clean section of your Bible. It's the part that may be sticking together, or maybe you put some gum or something over in there because you haven't darkened those ones. A lot of times unless there are certain things that come up, you know, that a lot of times we don't get into certain books of the Bible for different reasons, and sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming. But if you have your Bibles, and if you don't, it's going to be up here. It's right after Deuteronomy, right after Joshua, before 1 Samuel, and your Old Testament. It's interesting, as we study God's Word, how there are so many different central themes that come off the pages. How many of you guys have ever wanted to study something, but you didn't know really where to turn to? You wanted to hear God's word speak to you, and you're going through a certain thing in your life, and at times you're like, I don't know what God says about this or about that in your life. And so it's hard to know sometimes where to turn, or what's the right verse, or is this verse speaking about this particular message that can really speak to you? And as I shared last week, there are a lot of central themes. Matthew 24 and 25, as I shared last week, was all about how to wait on God before he returns. How to wait on God is something that's really difficult sometimes, is to wait on God, is to be able to see the things that we're supposed to be doing before his return. The book of Job. How many of you guys have read the book of Job? How to persevere through trials. The Song of Solomon, God's design for man and women in a healthy relationship, all the way from dating to courting to marriage to how to fight clean and to have a godly marriage. Ecclesiastes, understanding what this world is all about and dealing with changes, and understanding that this world is meaningless without the Lord. Daniel teaches the sovereignty of God. Matthew teaches on the kingdom of God. Acts teaches about being the church and spreading the gospels. Philippians, how to have a joy-filled life. 2 Thessalonians teaches us about our living hope, where we got our name for our church. And this morning, the central theme in the book of Judges, 21 chapters. We're not going to study 21 chapters. We're going to study two verses today. Just two verses. But 21 chapters in the book of Judges. And the central theme is this: God is always faithful. Amen. He's always faithful. No matter what we are dealing with, no matter what we're going through, God is always faithful. And I'm going to encourage you, as we study, even though I'm going to start it off with two verses, but I would love for us to do a quick little book study this week where you would actually study three chapters each day. It would get us through this whole entire book. Study three chapters each day and let God speak to you about showing you how faithful God really is, how faithful he was to the Israelites, how faithful he is in your own life. The kids and I got back from Colorado, and Pierce and Cameron received this devotional. And on Pierce's desk, he had on his little devotional, and I posted this on Facebook, I believe about a week ago. It was from Pastor Tony Evans. And the quote on July 11th said this, and this is when I began to start doing my study. The Israelites saw the same giant David saw. They just didn't see him the same way. The Israelites saw the same giant that David saw. They just didn't see him in the same way. They didn't see him in the same light. And as Pierce showed me this deal on his desk, and I was looking at it, I thought, okay, that's a pretty cool quote. And then I went on with my day, and then all of a sudden I started kind of looking at that verse in my life, and I started thinking, I got some giants that are coming on in my life right now. I got something that I really don't want to deal with. I got something that is kind of hard right now that just came up. I'm not sure how this person is going to deal with this, and I would see it this way, and this person is seeing it this way, and I wonder how God is dealing with it in all of those ways. And so each and every single day, as time went on from this time, I kept thinking about that particular quote. And it was when I began to think about the giants in my own life and people's life that I stopped to think about how am I seeing giants in my life? How are you seeing the giants in your life right now? And then how do you think God is seeing the giants in your life right now? And it took me to the book of Judges, where a huge group of people, 2 million people, matter of fact, are about to experience their own giants. Things that they're going to have to deal with, things that they're going to have to put their trust in, things that they're going to have to try to overcome and be able to accept and be able to deal with in their own particular life. And here we have a situation where God has delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians, from slavery, from certain despair, from certain possible death, and 2 million Jews are going to make their way to the promised land. And God promised a land filled with milk and honey. There's a lot of times in life, and as a Christian, we believe that when we become Christians, when we are saved, that there's this promise that land, that our daily life, our Christian life is always going to be milk and honey every day. If we get to this thing, if we go here, if we do this, if we go and make it through the valley, then sure enough, on the other side of that rainbow, there's going to be that pot of gold and the milk and honey waiting for us all. In this book, you're going to read cycles over and over cycles of man doing what man wants to do in this particular context. Where circumstances, many unexpected circumstances, are going to test the faith of millions. Have you had things in your life that's going to test your own faith? But we're going to see that God, in this particular book, in this particular theme, that God is faithful over and over and over. I want you to do something for me. On a piece of paper or a card in front of you, maybe in your Bible, but on a bulletin, if you got a bulletin, if you have a pen or pencil or something, I want you to write down some of the giants that you are dealing with right now in your own life. Don't put your name on it. It's okay. But I want you to write down on a piece of paper, on a tithing envelope, I'm okay with that, on a bulletin, I want you to write down some of the giants. This is just between you and God. This is just between you and God. What are some of the things that you're dealing with, some of the giants that have come into your life right now that you feel like you need God to deal with? I'm going to give you about another 10 seconds. This is important. There's something about whatever comes first on your heart, what comes first on your mind, is really what's pressing you the very most. And we're going to keep going, but as your time goes on, I want you to continue to write certain things as I'm going to be asking you questions. And as we get into God's Word, Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Says this, "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, 'Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?'" In this period, Israel had just lost a critical link, a critical component, the one of the most important people in this leadership, in this particular area. Moses had been a great leader, used God to bring them out of Egypt. And now you have Joshua, Moses' biggest assistant. I don't know if you've been in the business world, but you had this great assistant, or you had a co-worker, or possibly you had a spouse, or you had somebody that played a big role in your ministry, or whatever it may have been, but your greatest assistant, your greatest person. And then all of a sudden, that person's no longer there. Moses passes away. Now we get to a new deal where we get Joshua. He has now passed away. Two key figures, two divine purposes, two deaths, two giants, have now passed on. Two huge changes, two unexpected changes, and two types of situations where people are going to now have to start back over and trust God in the exact same situation. Church, have you ever felt like things were going so well, then all of a sudden something happens to a person, to a job, a relationship, a health issue, a giant in your life? When the norm becomes abnormal, when the constant is now become inconsistent, when the excitement becomes a drag. There are times in our life when God has given something and everything seems like it's going so great. And then all of a sudden, bam, something changes. And you're like, I wish it could be just the way that it was. Why can't it just be like this? The overflowing joy becomes somewhat stagnant and muddy. Sometimes it changes from this big old blessing to a point where now you feel like you're going into sinking sand. And the giant has now manifested itself. What is your giant? What did you write down? What did you think about? Does something become abnormal? Does something now become inconsistent? Does something now become a drag? Is something now stagnant in your life? Is something now more confusing? Is something now bringing you down? Is something now disrupting your life? Are you looking for leadership? Are you looking for answers? And we often ask, and it's funny, even for those that may not believe will ask this question. What in God's name, what in heaven's name is going on? What in heaven's name are you trying to do, God? You are doing so well. Keep up with you with what you are doing. You are doing so great. Why the change? Why are you stopping? Why are you taking Moses out? We were on this roll. We were doing exactly what you wanted us to do. Now you're taking Joshua out. Now you're making us start all over again in our life. Who are we supposed to be putting our confidence in? Who are we supposed to be putting our trust in? Now you're shaking up my ministry. You're shaking up my family. You're shaking up my business. My retirement that I had, I have no retirement. My school, my grades, I was planning on playing this particular sport. I was planning on doing this particular thing. I was heading this direction. I already signed the papers. I already got the contract. And now it seems like everything is all different. Everything has changed. And for Joshua and for the Israelites, as far as they could tell, there was no replacement. There was no replacement. Joshua is now dead. The Israelites are now wandering around. They're trying to figure out what in the world is going to happen. And as far as they could see, and as far as what they knew in the immediate future, they were just wondering. Remember the things that you're writing down. Is there anything that you are wondering about? Do you feel like you're wandering right now, aimlessly trying to figure out some answers in your own life? During the period of the judges, there were 340 to 400 years where there was no standing king. I want you to think about that. There was no standing king. There was no president. There was no prime minister. There was nobody actually leading this particular country. Only God in heaven was the supreme ruler of their life. It was God that was supreme ruler in their life. He appointed judges. Now, it's judges. I don't want you to look at the book of Judges. It's not like people sitting in a court. It's not someone wearing a black robe, okay, making decisions. It's not like that. This judge who God has brought up are people that he has designed, that he has chosen to become like military leaders to help fight, to help lead, to help rally, to help decide, to help their troops, to give them direction. And then all of a sudden, as he brings someone in, they then begin to go into obscurity. They begin to go away. They begin to die. God brings another one up, and then the exact same thing happens over time. Time after time after time after time. This continues. 13 judges over a 400-year time period to help redeem and set a free nation. I met with 5 different families this week, and one of them asked me this question. Troy, does God come in and out of my life? Troy, does God come in and out of my life? And I wonder if the Israelites ever felt like that. I wonder if the Israelites ever felt like God was coming in their life and then out of their life, coming into their life and then out of their life. Every time some type of change, every time something big happened, all of a sudden they were out, they had nothing, and they were trying to aimlessly, they're wandering, and they're going wherever anybody else goes. But I wonder if maybe they were wondering if God was coming in and out of their life for some particular reason. And can I ask you, do you ever see at times in your life God is allowing things to move in and out of your life Have you ever noticed when you are strong and then you're weak and then you need to trust more, then a situation comes and then you're like, I feel good about this one. And then all of a sudden another one comes and you're like, I don't think I can handle this one. At one time you're strong with that particular situation, and then the next minute all of a sudden you just feel weak and hopeless. Well, what once was a big deal is now a huge deal. And a time that, just to be vulnerable with you, a time that I was sick for about a month in the hospital. I laid in bed for several weeks. And my wife had to deal with a lot. And Jamie's car had no transmission. It went out. Our disposal in our kitchen went out. The dishwasher was backed up and smelled like sewer. We were spending more money than we were bringing in on bills and all the things that we had to do. Kids were in school, had a homework, had to eat, had a sporting event. Jamie was running on every cylinder that she could just to make it in the day, make it through the night with all the other things that kept popping up and going. And I was helpless and I couldn't help and I couldn't do anything. And I was asking God, what in heaven's name are you doing? And I know a lot of times we can say, well, I don't want to whine about that because I know that these people over there, they got it much worse. I know that. We talked about Venezuela and these people over there. There's no way I can imagine what these people have gone through. And then I'm going to look at my problems and I'm going to whine about it. But I want you to understand that God got those problems and God's got my problems. Amen. It all matters to God. Say that with me. It all matters to God. Say it again. It all matters to God. I don't want you to look at your problems and say it's too small for God. Or even worse, it's too big for God. It all matters to God. Don't compare your problems to other people because what is relevant is to you. It's affecting your life. It's your trial. It's your tribulation. It's your storm that you're going through. And it's real to you. Don't worry about what other people are dealing with or what others think, because what you're dealing with a lot of times is what God has put you through. And it all matters to God. What was interesting during that time, as I continue to be vulnerable a little bit, is that God raised people up in my life and in Jamie's life. God raised people up. I want to say that again. God raised people up. He raised people up here at the church to be able to preach and to be able to carry out the ministries here. He raised people up in my own family that every single one of them, every single person in my family was at my house. I thought I was dying, I guess. I've been through enough situations where I was thinking, oh my goodness, when that many people start showing up, there's something to think about. It was a good time to actually probably start the wheel. I don't have much, so. God raised people up at the church. God raised people up in my family. God raised people up in my school. God raised my wife up. God gifted all these leaders. God showed himself to be faithful again and again and again. And it was amazing to watch. At the right time, spiritual giants were overcoming all the Goliaths in my life. You ever see that times when God raises people up just in a nick of time and then gives you the ability to handle the giants in your own life? And what was interesting is that I believe a lot of these people said yes to God. If there is a verse in the New Testament that encompasses the book of Judges, is 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. If we are faithless, when we are self-doubting, when we have lost hope, when we are wondering, when we are wandering, when we're going all different directions, if we are faithless, He is faithful. God is our constant. He's the only one that is consistent. It's a great promise to us. It's a great promise to a nation. It's a great promise to our nation, to His children, to the chosen by God. Even when we have decided to go our own way for a while, when we become prodigal and we go our own ways, when we say, you know what, this sin in our life, it's worth it right now. This is where I want to go right now. And when we go and we go our own way, verse 1 asks an important question. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, here's the question, and remember who they're asking. Who? The Lord. They're now talking to God. Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? What was the last question that you asked God? I want you to think about that. What's the last question that you have ever asked God? What will be the next question that you'll ask God? What was the last question you asked God? And what's going to be your very next question that you're going to ask God? Today, tomorrow, whenever it is. Do you remember your giants? Do you have them written down? Verse 2 says this, and the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. On Pierce's little devotional, it says this about the quote. It says, God's got it. Have faith. God's got it. Have faith. On his devotional, that's what stuck with me, is that God's got it. How does he have it? How do I give it over to him? How do I have faith in this situation of my life? What do I got to do to know that God's got it? See, oftentimes we may look at God and we may end up thinking that, and I hope that this is not your God that you serve, that you worship today. I hope that you don't think that your God is like saying, I don't know what to do. I hope we don't have a God that says, that's a great question. I hope we don't have a God that says, I've never even thought about that yet. Or I didn't see that coming. See, we don't serve that type of God, do we? Amen. We serve a God that says, I've got it. Have faith. I've got it. There's no surprise. I saw it coming. That's a great question. Let me give you your answer now. I've got it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. That's pretty confident, isn't it? He's not wondering. He says, I know. You can take that to the bank. I know. I got it. And watch what God says here in verse 2. He said immediately, Judah shall go up. Judah shall go up. Judah's going to handle this. I'm going to use Judah. I'm going to bring this giant Judah into your world. All the giants that you're facing, all the Goliaths, all the things that's going on right now, I'm bringing Judah in. I'm bringing this person in. I'm bringing this person in. Isn't it interesting how God uses people to help do his purpose? Amen. Over and over. Before Judah was the tribe of Judah, before he was the Lion of Judah, Judah was just a man. He's just a person like you and me. Can I tell you that again? Before Judah was the tribe of Judah, before he was the line of Judah, before Jesus Christ, the descendant that came from Judah, he was just a man called out by God, designed for a purpose, just like you and me. And I hope this will bless your heart as I come to an end. You can go back and you can mark this in your Bibles later on, but you can look at the story of where Judah came from. Because he said, Judah's going to handle it. Judah's going to come up. And in Genesis 29 is the story of Jacob and Leah that got married and had kids. And on the fourth delivery, she had another son. And interesting to note, she named her fourth son, what? Judah, who we're talking about right here. Judah is going to go up. In Hebrew, I want to show you this. In Hebrew, Judah means, this time I will praise the Lord. Simply put, Judah means praise up to God. So I want to read these verses really quick. Hold the context. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, here's the question, they're now talking to God, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Praise shall go up. Praise lifted up to God shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. The first thing that we need to realize, is the Israelites did something. They prayed. You see that? They prayed. They talked to God. When we're looking for help, when we're looking for direction, when we're looking for comfort, when we're looking for confession, when we're looking for salvation, when we're looking for leadership to rule, the first thing we need to do is what? Pray. We need to talk to God about it. When facing giants in our life, we need to talk to God. There are so many people that we had times I know we've all talked to and they're going through this and they're going through that. And the last thing that they have done is ever talk to God about it. He's the first person to blame, but the last person to talk to. We're mad at him because he allowed it. He didn't end up allowing that not to occur. And oftentimes that our sin and the consequences of it, we get upset for God because this is our punishment, because this is what he allowed to happen in our life. But just because something bad happens does not mean that God is punishing you. Do you understand that? Please don't ever go into something and say, what did you do wrong? Isn't that what happened to Job? You must have really, really messed up, man. For God to take your family and destroy them and do this and take your money and take your cattle and take this person, you should do exactly what your wife said. Curse God and die and get it over with. His friends say, what did you do wrong? I thought I was being obedient. I was serving him. I'm asking the same questions you are. I'm wondering what's going on. And we know the story that God said, have you thought about my servant Job? This guy really loves me. This guy's faithful. Don't ever think just because bad things are happening to you that God is punishing you. I want you to consider thinking what God said. Have you considered my servant one of you? Me. It's not too small. It's not too big. It all matters to God. You remember saying that? It all matters to God. And the second thing I want you to see in verse 2 is this. The first thing is when we pray. The second thing that we need to do is we need to wait on God's response. the song, Strength Will Rise As We Wait Upon the Lord. As we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord, our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are our everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint. You do not grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. That is our comfort. Verse 2 says, Judah shall go up. Who shall go up? Praise shall go up. Not only do I want you to first, I want you to pray, I want you to talk to me, but now I want you to praise me. I want you to praise me with faith, knowing that I got this. You see that? He said, talk to me. And then on that, here's your answer. Praise shall go up. Worship shall go up. God has this. God is going to take care of this. Why? Because praise has gone up. That is faith. Praise shall go up. We'll fight your Goliaths. Praise will go up. We'll be your strong deliverer. Praise will go up to get you through all the obstacles that you're dealing with. Dr. Dean Hahn said this, praise is faith set to music. Praise is faith set to music. It's not about the song. It's not about all these things. It's about your heart. It's what they just got through singing about. Sometimes you just don't have the voice. Sometimes you just don't have the words to say how you truly feel. But when Sal can say, I'm just going to give my heart, I may not have the voice. I may not have the words. I may not have all the answers. I may not have all the whatever. But God knows my heart, and I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to praise him with faith, knowing that he's already got it. Knowing that he's already got it. We praise him before, we praise him in the middle of it, we praise him after the storms. As I close, I want to say that in Colorado, I was watching my nephew and I was watching Pierce. He paid for a 2-hour course. A 2-hour course, ropes course, going through all these obstacles. And here's Pierce up there on the obstacle. And it's like 3 different levels. And I mean, every single obstacle has a different thing that he's got to face. Or something that he's got to get to when he gets it to another place. He's 30 feet off the ground. Okay? I'm on solid ground. I'm watching him. You're doing good, buddy. Keep it up. Let me take a photo of you really quick. So I took that shot. And he's smiling. He's having the time of his life. And then he goes to a new obstacle, and his face sometimes changes as he's looking at it. It's a pretty tough, challenging course. But he's not knowing what to expect turn after turn. Different type of experience, different heights, different obstacles. But what was interesting as I began to watch, and I'm on hour number 1, and I still know that I have another hour to go, something else caught my attention. I saw a couple men going on the same obstacle. And what was interesting, as you begin to see some of these roll out here, these guys were locking arms. They first started off and they're holding hands and they never let go. There's always a hand holding the other person on the obstacle. Every obstacle, everyone different, over and over, they never let go of each other. Not once did they ever let go of each other on the obstacle course. Pierce is over there by himself, being a complete stud. I don't need nobody. Get out of my way. But these guys, these older guys, these guys that just graduated high school, not knowing what their future holds, Just finished school, the security of high school, now about to enter into college or the workplace, not knowing what's going on. They're now sitting there and they're going through this obstacle course, holding hands, locking, never letting go. Not once. For 2 hours, not once ever letting go of each other. And I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Is one of them blind? Is that why they're holding on to the other person? Is one of them blind? Are they just kind of friendly with each other? What's going on? It crossed my mind. I didn't know. Whatever. And then finally this guy walks and he's coming over there and he's by me because I'm trying to watch Pierce over there on this angle, and this guy walks by and he's shouting out, good job, guys, good job. And I finally, I asked, I said, what's up with them? What's going on with these guys? Why are they not ever letting go? And this is what he said. Doing the course by yourself, it's pretty lonely. And you just have to rely on yourself. But when you hold hands and you never let go of the other person, it's actually more challenging to do the obstacle course. But it's more comforting knowing that you're not alone through the course. But it's more difficult. What Pierce was doing was hard, but to never let go of someone is even harder to go through the course. And over, I kept hearing this. I got you. I got you. I got you, man. I got you. I got you. Over and over, I'm listening to these people say, I got you. And then he finished saying, we want the kids to know that in life, when it comes to trusting God, God is always holding you, saying, what? I got you. I got you. I see you over there. I can see you over there. I got you. And it's hard to hold on. It's hard to hold on to another person. It's hard to hold on to Christ. Sometimes the obstacle is even that much tougher because we think if we just did it on our own, we'll get through it faster. We'll be able to get through it. We'll be able to deal with it. We'll be able to whatever. It's a lot harder to hold on to Christ, someone that we cannot see, someone that we can't hear audibly, we can't touch physically, and we're wondering, God, did you leave me? You remember when I was praying to you? You remember when I was telling you about this small thing? You remember when I was telling you about this big thing in my life? I haven't heard from you to say, I got you. I need you to remind me you got me. I need you to remind me that you got me. God has it. It all matters to God, big and small. And he's got you. And he's got you. Whatever's on your card right now, he's got it. He's got it. Don't go through it alone. He's gonna bring people up in your life. He's gonna bring giants in your life that he has chosen to help you through this. If you're dealing with anything, you may be saying, man, life is actually going pretty good. Then be that giant for those other people right now. Because they need you. They need you to step up and they need you to walk with them and tell you, I got you. Whatever your situation may be, even if you're doing well right now, praise God. This is the altar. The author is saying that I got you. The author is saying that it all matters. Would you place your giants down here? Would you place your giants down here? If you want to come and pray with me, if you want to pray with our deacons, if you want to just pray by yourself, we're not going to bother you. But would you give that? Would you give your giants? Would you give your worries? Would you give whatever's going on? And will you remember, pray and praise. Because praise has got you. He's coming up. He's raised up for you. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you're always telling us, that you're always reminding us that you are faithful. We have a whole book that reminds us of how you're so faithful. No matter when we are faithless, that you are faithful. No matter when we think that our small things are not big enough for you, that we're just wasting our time because there's other people that got bigger issues and bigger problems, and you're going to be too busy. I pray that we will let the small things, the big things, the things that are written down on our hearts, that we give those things to you. It all matters to you. It all matters to you. It all matters. If it's bothering us, if we need help, if we need guidance, if we need to trust, if we need faith, if we need answers, it all matters to you. If anyone's feeling guilty that they think, well, I must be sinning, I must be doing this or doing that, it's possible that we could be going our own way, that we became prodigal, we're doing things in our own way, but you say, you know what? I'm right here. I'm here for you. For there's nothing that can separate us from your love. You wipe us clean. We are as white as snow. For those who have put their trust in you, for you see only Christ. Thank you for your forgiveness of sin. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you that we can walk in grace each day. Most of all, thank you for having us. May we be reminded today and tomorrow and the next day, as giants come our way, or maybe we need to help be that giant for other people. Let us all step up and help one another. It's in Christ's name we pray. This altar is for everybody. In Christ's name, amen.